welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, welcome. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. And for those of you who have been kind of following along for the last few weeks, we're doing a series, have been doing a series over the last couple weeks, and probably this week and next week to kind of round it off. And I'll just go ahead and throw the title up for those of you who have been, get it? How to Get a Ripped Mind That Wants to Think on the Right Things All the Time. Kind of wordy, but if you think about it, we kind of know what we're talking about. We've had the Think Right message that's come through the body of Christ that has been a blessing, and it's an important part of the Word of God, basically telling us we need to set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth, right? If you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, and we can see throughout Scripture exhortations after exhortation, you know, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so we've kind of had this teaching, myself included, the importance of thinking right and being spiritually minded. And so we've kind of been over the what we called the 101, the fact that we need to be spiritually minded, set our mind on things above. And then kind of the 201 series, if you're kind of thinking college courses here, of the why we set our mind on things above, the benefits, the things that happen. But what we were saying is we want to go on to the how to do that. Because somebody telling you, oh, just think spiritual, it sounds so simple. And yet you find that your thinking is attached to your history. It's attached to your body. It's attached to powers and principalities that are at work. Headwinds that come against your thoughts. You know, you're not living in a little vacuum right now to where you just think independently without any kind of opposition. So the Think Right message, much needed, much, you know, a part of the Word of God and what we've got to do, has also needed to be accompanied with really now kind of getting into the how-to. How can I really get my mind on things above and stay there? So that's where we wanted to go. We started out with what we call ground rules. We simply said discipline is not legalism, all right? Just because we're disciplined in something doesn't mean that I'm trying to be made righteous with God through my discipline. No, that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you can get a revelation that you're righteous by the blood of Jesus and have discipline. Yay. You don't have to pick one, all right? You can have both. You can know your righteousness and be disciplined in spiritual things, all right? With the right heart, with the right motive. Also, you can get stirred up on the power of God. We're going to see that these things that we're doing is connected to God's power. You know, you work out in the natural, and it's your muscles that are getting built and strengthened and developed. But when you begin to do spiritual workout and spiritual things, it's God's power that gets stirred up on the inside of you. You haven't been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. When you begin to stir things up spiritually, you're stirring up His power, His strength, and His ability. So some of these things, we just have some ground rules that we're kind of going back to as we get into the exercises. Last week, we looked at basically building the puzzle. So as we're doing this, we want some visuals. We want to be able to understand that there's a big picture here as I'm working out. You know, when somebody's working out, whether it's an Olympic athlete or whether you're a high school athlete, or even if you're just having your own personal workout program, there is something you're working toward. There's something you're going for. There's some kind of a goal involved. Whether it's a time or a weight or you're competing with something, there's something that you're doing all this for. And so as we're I just simply called it building the puzzle, you're kind of laying out these pieces. These pieces are going to be exercises that we do, not randomly, but they're pieces that are causing something to come into focus in our lives. And we said, you're doing it one piece at a time. This is not an overwhelming thing. This is a journey. This is a race that we're running. And so this week we're going to kind of get in now to the specifics. What am I going to do? What can I do to develop myself spiritually? I know that I'm supposed to think on things above. I know why it's good for me. But how can I begin to develop disciplines to where I'm there? I'm in the zone. I know I'm in the zone, and I'm staying in the zone spiritually in the face of all these headwinds. All right? Again, this is 301 stuff, so I'm assuming you know some things already about the importance of setting your mind on things above. So this morning, we're going to go on to a scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There again, it's His power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So this is a great passage of Scripture because it clearly shows and depicts that those headwinds that we're dealing with, you know, it's not flesh and blood. It's not something that I can point to, but there are invisible things. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, these all ultimately register as thoughts in your head, these influences and these forces. And so we're saying, oh, just think spiritual. Well, there is a wrestling that's involved. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but you are wrestling. That's what the scripture is saying. You're wrestling against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness. And so there is a wrestling that's going on. Just because you experience that wrestling doesn't mean that there's something wrong. You know, okay, just think on the right thing. Okay, I'm thinking on the right thing. I got my mind there. And man, if you're wrestling, I was actually a wrestler. And so I know what it's like to where I'm on top and I'm wrestling and I've got control. And the next thing I know, the guy does some move or a switch and I'm on bottom. Okay, well, I'm going to try to stand up and get back out of this and get back on top again. Wrestling is up and down and back and forth. And so just because you're thinking on things above and all of a sudden you see something or hear something, your mind's back in that dark place again. And you're going, oh, wait, no, I'm supposed to think on things above. And you get your mind back on things above. And then something else happens and now you're on bottom. You think, oh, I'm crazy. This doesn't work. What's this think right? No, you're just wrestling. You're just wrestling. You're all right. You're right on track. Okay? And a lot of times, as far as the how-to, we got to realize that this is going to be a dynamic. This is just part of it. All right? And so this is what you're doing. And this is something you can get good at. You don't start out being a great wrestler. You learn how to wrestle. And you learn from some of those little subtle things and mistakes you made before, all right? Again, discipline isn't legalism. You're learning, you're growing, and you're developing into some things. It's going to be by the power of God. So this morning, you know, we're continuing the series, How to Get a Ripped Mind. We're going to go into strength training, all right? So we're going to get into some things this morning about developing strength, developing that strength, that spirit of a sound mind. There are things that we can absolutely do to get strong. You know, when I think of this kind of stuff, I think back to the day when I very first saw the movie Rocky back in the mid-70s. And my mom wanted to take us to it. And I thought the name of the movie was Roxy, and it was about a woman and a lady. I don't want to, you know, I'm 10 years old. I don't want to see some boring movie about a lady. And so I had to go. I didn't have any choice. And so I went there and wow, it's not about Roxy. It's about Rocky. And pretty soon you're seeing this guy, you kind of see the story and, you know, things happening and whatnot. And all of a sudden it hits that point in the movie where he makes a decision. He's got a chance. He's got an opportunity, you know. And then you hear that music, da 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 da, getting strong now, gonna fly, and all that movie. And then you see him working out. All right. I don't know if Rocky invented the one arm push up or not, but He definitely popularized it, okay? Because everybody was trying to do those one-arm push-ups after that. And so you had this kind of sense that, yeah, you know, getting strong and, you know, getting fit and, you know, really going for it. And, you know, he's just kind of this average boxer guy. And as he's going and you see, and I appreciate in the movie the way they did it because, you know, he gets going and they've kind of got this this music going and he's running and he's wanting to get up these stairs and jump up and down and he can just hardly get up these stairs. He's inspired, but his body hasn't caught up with his inspiration yet, all right? And he's just kind of, you know, chunking up those stairs. He knows what he would like to be doing, but he keeps going, and he keeps working out. And pretty soon that music really, you know, takes full bore, and pretty soon he's running up those stairs, sprinting up there and jumping up and down. But there is this process that he goes. And this is important. This is the how-to stuff. Just because you're going up the stairs spiritually and you're feeling winded, thinking this, yeah, you're right on track. This is part of the deal, okay? You're developing stuff. This, again, discipline is not legalism, all right? I'm not trying to accomplish something that Jesus did on the cross. I can't do that, but I can wrestle, all right? I can begin to do the things, and we'll look at some of these things, that are going to develop a discipline in me. We had a football coach that would tell us, and he was probably borrowing it from somebody else, but he would say, fatigue makes cowards of us all, gentlemen. You know, when you're getting ripped, all right, you don't feel ripped during the peak of your workout. You feel exhausted. You feel vulnerable. You feel, but I'm going on because you know tomorrow you're going to feel more energy than you had today. You're doing what you're doing now out ahead, knowing it's working something in you, all right? And so as we're talking about getting on to the strength part and really developing some things, keep these things in mind. Keep that context in mind. Rejoicing in hope. This is a powerful way you're going to develop yourself spiritually and strengthen yourself. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There is a connection between joy and strength. Joy in the face of adversity. We can see it throughout the scripture. The Hebrew writer tells us here we have no continuing city. Did you know that? Here we have no continuing city. But we seek one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We were singing all about that this morning. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name over and over and over again. And I love how it puts in here, a sacrifice of praise to our God. A sacrifice of praise. In other words, praising with the fruit of your lips, you're maybe not feeling it, but there's a sacrifice of praise. Because there's one thing you know for sure, that no matter what I've got going on down here, no matter what is in little Ed House's world, Jesus is perfect, and he's holy, and he's loving, and he's kind, and his love toward me is perfect, and he cares about me, and that hasn't changed a single bit. There are things changing in my life all the time, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and there is something about looking up in his constancy where there's no variableness or no shadow of turning with him. Praise God. And when I just begin to, in the face of that, begin to worship God and say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. You are holy. You're righteous. You love me. You're for me. Oh, it's amazing to behold him, to imagine. Imagine seeing him. Even when you worship him, see Jesus in your mind's eye. The Bible says, look unto Jesus. Well, you can't look with your natural eyes, in whom having not seen, you love. And rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, you're looking at something. It's not wrong to, in your mind's eye, see Jesus. Lift it up there. Don't think of just a scripture verse. Don't think of a theological concept. In your mind, see Jesus. You don't have to get it right as far as exactly what he looks like in his face. I mean, he's glorious. But you can see him in your heart and mind high and lifted up. You can see him full of glory. You can allow your mind to go there. There are vain imaginations. You don't want your mind to go there that lift you up, right? You can imagine yourself as the big whatever. That's wrong. The Bible says that's wrong. But there are God-glorifying imaginations, imaginations that cause you to lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I magnify. You're greater than anything that I'm going through. There are imaginations that cause that lifts up your heart. And those are things that you do in the midst of things. Here's another scripture kind of along these lines. It says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking in one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here again, it's an amazing thing to think that the filling here in this context of the Spirit happens as you're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We were doing that this morning. You're singing, you're making melody in your heart, and as you're giving out, there is a filling in that happens. Now, you just have to take inventory of your praise and worship this morning, but as you were, and I've just kind of mentally made a note because I knew I'd be preaching on this morning. But I made a note that as I was worshiping, to sense the power and the strength, to sense that there's something. Jesus said, whenever we gather together in his name, he's there in our midst. There's a power, there's a strength, and to realize that I'm yielding to that. That's the strength, that's the power that comes up in me. I don't have that. My ability to think right comes from that power. You begin to worship God, and your mind has a strength to begin to worship. Not a mental exercise, but a spiritual worship. The fruit of your lips, a sacrifice. Another scripture, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now here we are. We're in the gym right now, and we're working out. And we've preached this, I've preached this, you've heard a lot of sermons along these lines, and how do I count it all joy when I'm going through this and going through all that and da-da-da-da-da, and yeah, I know, I can empathize, I've been there, I get it, but when you're working out, you don't care about all that padding and that petting. It's kind of like the old Nike thing, just do it. We're talking different this morning, but I've set some ground rules. Discipline is not legalism. There comes some times in your life spiritually when you're not going to get that feeling. You're just going to do it. I'm going to, by faith, do it. And let's get clear. We're talking about the how-tos. There are times you need to get away from people. You need to get by yourself and shout to the Lord. And glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You need to hear your voice declaring the glory of God and worshiping God. I'll tell you, there will be a clearing of yourself. Man, in terms of time, just a few seconds of just worshiping the fruit of your lips, praise God, can just bring a clarity of thought in just a moment. Maybe you get in your car, whatever you got to do. There are times when you need to let it out, this stuff, when you're dealing with this stuff. I remember we had a teacher at school. She would go to a cow pasture, all right? And at her break, there was nobody there. And she could just let it out and worship and praise God. You know, there are just times you need to do that. I've had that time where I realized, hey, I'm the only one at home. Praise God, hallelujah. Hey, all right. Think, man, it's been a while since I've done this. Glory to God. This is a big part of the how-tos. Is just declaring. I mean, making and be intentional about this. I'm going to worship him. Praise God. There are times you need that. Also, practical stuff too. If you got a phone, your computer, whatever it is, you can get a playlist. Take some time. Make a good playlist of music that speaks to your heart, that ministers to you. You get your top 10 or whatever that is going on. Music that begins to stir you up. Take the time and do it. It takes time. But you know when you do it and you get that, and all of a sudden, I know I'm just like three clicks away. bang, and I can be going, all right? I mean, I'm literally like here, 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 and then, you know, kind of, I've got what I just call my secret place, and I will just start, you know, cranking, you know, come to the table, you know, and then I can only imagine. That was then, this is now. Sometimes you gotta rock, all right, that's all right. No longer slaves, praise God, no longer a slave to fear. I'm just saying, this is practical stuff, but when you're preaching theory or concepts on a Sunday morning, it's gotta come down to this. When you're gonna come in here, you're gonna be singing and belting it because you so easily in the powers and principalities get isolated with your own thoughts, and you're like this. And you, those thoughts need competition. And it's not strong. It doesn't take any big feet to go click, click, click. But we feel like, oh, I shouldn't be thinking this. I should be strong. Nah, forget about you and the power of your might. It isn't the power of your might. You're just going to click, 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 and let the power of God come in and stir up the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. All right? This is how-to stuff. This is the practical. This is where I'm going to get there and I'm going to stay there, and it's not cheating to do this. You know, keeping my mind, you know, songs, hymns, spiritual, this isn't cheating. This is just the Word of God. You know, a natural person who doesn't understand spiritual things would look at this and say, well, it's just emotional hype. It's not emotional hype. I know emotional hype. I can get emotional hype when I'm watching a football game, all right? That's one thing. But this does something much deeper. This is a spiritual strength that rises up. It's strength training. But it's practical. You know, it's just that kind of stuff. And you're going to take technology, which I know the enemy uses for bad, but we can take this same technology in a right way and use it for good. Use it for the glory of God. Yeah, it takes a little extra time to do it, but then you click on that. I mean, you've done this. I've done this accidentally. Left the house, went in the car, maybe in a huff, turned on the car, and all of a sudden a song's playing. It's like, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Settle. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, praise God, yeah. Accidentally got my mind on spiritual things. But what does it show you? That's the way things, the power of God is. See, this what Paul told the Ephesians, he said, I want you to get a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward you as a believer. And he said that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think according to the power that works in you. So you got power toward you, you got power in you. All you're doing, I'm not lighting these lights today with my power. All I'm doing is flipping a switch. The power is working toward this building. I'm just allowing it to work toward those lights. What am I doing here? I'm flipping switches. No big Ed House muscle stuff going on here. This is anybody, any age. All you're doing is just setting your mind, and the power of God comes through. This, anything that has spiritual substance, it can. I love this. Speaking to one another. This is why we have fellowship at Door of Life as an active part. Boy, we just had praise and worship. Now we're going to stop and we're going to have some fellowship time? Yeah. There's a speaking to one another that happens. There's a strengthening that happens. Fellowship, worship, fellowship, the Word, fellowship. There's a fabric of speaking to one another that you do here. That's part of the spiritual experience here by design. So, this is all good. When you're fellowshipping, have you had that? You're fellowshipping with a brother or sister in Christ, and it's like, wow, praise God. You know what God did? Yeah, wow. And then it reminds you of something he did for you. You go, yeah. And it's not like it's top that testimony, like I'm trying to one-up you or anything like that. But it just stirs things up like, wow, yeah, praise God. God does. And there's like a fellowshipping, and there's a synergy, and there's power. I'm telling you, there can be such an anointing in fellowship that is like any message you'd hear or any song, there's anointing and grace in that fellowship. What is that? Boy, I'll tell you, that's just the to-do. That's why we kind of make it part of the to-do thing that we're doing here and just make and say, hey, pray. God put somebody in your heart, give them a call, reach out. You know, allow those different fellowship opportunities to begin to happen. So there's a rejoicing in hope. Actually, there was a song I was fellowshipping the other day about the Katinas, that is a group, and there was a song they had that was just like, I remember such a blessing. It goes, this is just called rejoice. Lift every voice. Let the nations sing. We've come to testify and magnify and worship the King. Let the islands dance. Lift up your hands to make the reconcile to worship the King. We are a chosen generation. We're united, undivided, marching for a dance to victory. No one can stop us. We will rejoice in His name. Lift every voice. Let the nations sing. We've come to testify, magnify, worship the King. We were made for this hour. We're getting stronger by His power. Praise and worship forever. We'll stand together when we'll rejoice and sing. Lift every voice. Let the nations sing. We've come to testify and magnify. Testifying. Sometimes you just testify to yourself. I'm testifying what God has done in my life. The psalmist would just praise God, the one who delivered us, you know, who delivered the Hebrew children from the Egyptians, who caused us to go through on dry ground, who delivered us, who rained down manna and quail from the sky. Praise the Lord. You begin to look back and count your blessings. You could put it that way. But you begin to testify, declaring it. What is that? That's rejoicing. That's exercise. That's spiritual exercise in the face of not wanting to do it. You're doing it. But I'll tell you what, it's not just, I should do this, and that's good, and I'm rejoicing. No, this is a piece of your puzzle. As you're doing this, you're seeing something go into place. And you may not feel it now, but I've had this happen before too, where I've done things one day, and I'll wake up the next day with a spiritual strength and substance. It's like I wake up lighter. There's something I've sown to the Spirit the day before and reaped when I woke up the next day. Spiritual stuff will work like that. You're not necessarily going to get the goosebumps that moment, but when you begin to do it, you're strengthening things. There's a strength that's rising up. So strength training, a big one, is just rejoicing in hope. Here's another big, we got one more. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears, blessing the Lord at all times, magnifying the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. What are we doing? You know, in your mind, your problem can be this tall and God can be that tall. Theologically, you know that's not true, but in your mind, that's the state you're in. What does it mean to magnify the Lord? It just means you begin to lift Him up. You begin to worship Him. And as you begin to behold Him, the things of earth grow strangely dim. So that's that decision. I'm going to do this. I know that as big as this deal is, God is still bigger than that deal. And I'm going to magnify Him in my heart and in my mind as an exercise. Not because da-da-da-da-da, something's happening when I do it. There is a spiritual strength that's developing me and causing my mind to have more focus and a longer spiritual attention span tomorrow than I have today. There's a sowing and there's a giving. And again, discipline is not legalism. I'm developing some things. I'm simply being a doer of the word. I'm a sow into the Spirit, and I'm reaping of the Spirit life, knowing that it's His power. Another piece of the puzzle. Next, praying in the Spirit. This is huge. Praying in the Spirit. Let's just take a look. Let me just say this too. I was raised Lutheran. I was not raised with anything to do with speaking in tongues, okay? Or anything like that. So it's not like, this is all new to me. But I'll tell you what, and I can say after over 30 years of praying in the Spirit, I thank God for praying in the Spirit. I thank God I can pray in the Spirit. Here, let's just give a quick overview of, there's a few things I want to say along this line. But first of all, this is John. This is the disciples after the resurrection, Jesus coming to them. Then the same day that evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus is present with them. They see who he is. They believe on him. They're in the process of being commissioned to go preach the gospel. Are they believers at this point? Yeah. Do they have the Holy Spirit? Yeah, they do. They could say, I have the Holy Spirit. They'd be absolutely right. Now, same Jesus, same disciples. Fast forward a few days. In Acts, and being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be. This hasn't happened yet. I've breathed on you, and you've received the Holy Spirit. But something else, if I was to say, do you have the Holy Spirit? You'd say yes. But there's not one dimension of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of facets and manifestations and dimensions of the Holy Spirit. You can't put them in a box. You got the Holy Spirit, but you shall be, future tense, baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive, and this is going on to verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has, do they have the Holy Spirit now? They have the Holy Spirit now. But do they have the power of this experience yet? No, they don't. Future tense. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. All right? So Jesus was telling them, yeah, you got the Holy Spirit, but there's going to be a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's going to give you power. Wait for it. Wait for it. And they did. They waited for it. And they got it. And the Bible says that they spoke as the Spirit gave utterance. Tongues of fire. Now, what I want to do here this morning a little bit, I'm kind of speaking a little bit to two groups of people. Maybe people who are like me as a Lutheran. I wasn't raised in this. You know, I dated a girl who was raised in this, and they had kind of a wacky teaching on this, that unless you spoke in tongues, you didn't even have the Holy Spirit. Well, I knew that wasn't right. I'd been walking with God for years without speaking in tongues. So he came too late to tell me that I didn't know Jesus because I didn't speak with tongues. I've known him for years at that point. I've walked with him, loved him, but it got me mad enough to get into the Bible and find out about this tongue stuff. You know, that's kind of how it works, you know? And so I didn't really have a horse in this race, right? I'm raised Lutheran, so I don't really care if it turned out to be true or not. I mean, in one sense or another. It's not like I had some loyalty that I'm trying to hold to. I just want to know what the truth is here, okay? And I want to divide it from Scripture. Not because I want there to be tongues or I don't want there to be tongues. I just want to know. I want to be a good Berean. I want to search the Scriptures and see if those things are true or not. I want to keep an open heart, whatever that means. And so as you're looking at this, he's saying, you shall receive. I know you got the Holy Spirit, but you're going to receive power when this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes on you. They get it. And they experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason why there's a lot of confusion over the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because many times this power, this baptism of the Holy Spirit is confused with the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you speak in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, is a personal, private, devotional gift that helps you personally. Tongues and interpretation of tongues is a ministry gift, all right? What I'm going to do here is we're just going to look at a few little slides, and again, this just kind of helped me walk through it mentally, to know the difference between private devotional and public ministry, okay? They're very different. They function very different. For one, public ministry tongues is as the Spirit wills, okay? To another, he goes through the gifts, to another, there's a working of miracles, there's a prophecy, there's a discerning of spirits, there's different kinds of tongues. To another, there's the interpretation of tongues, but it's the same Spirit who works all these things. That Spirit is, what is he doing? He's distributing to each one individually as he wills. You look at these gifts, they're in manifestation as the Spirit wills, not as I will. When you're talking about tongues and interpretation of tongues, it's not as I will. It's as the Spirit wills. That's a supernatural manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. Gifts of healing, and I don't turn those on and off. You have people who try, and they get into weird stuff. You don't do it. Just because God might have done some amazing move in your church one Sunday morning doesn't mean he's got to outdo it next Sunday morning. No, praise God, there was a move of the Spirit, and you flowed with it. Wonderful. Whether that happens again next month or whatever, you're flowing with the Spirit. You're not calling the shots. You're yielding. You're earnestly desiring the gifts of the Spirit, but he's the Lord. He's calling the shot as he wills. So if you got a tongues, sometimes we have a tongues and interpretation of tongues, the door of life. Sometimes we'll have a prophecy. We don't. Sometimes we don't. We don't have to do it to prove that we're spiritual. We're not doing anything to prove anything. We're just wanting to be genuinely led by the Spirit of God. And that's the best way, because then it's the real thing. It's the genuine article. Praise God. That's all we want. We don't care about spirituality contests here. We just want a real move and flow of the Holy Ghost. But when it's a public ministry, man, that's as the Spirit wills. The Spirit knows that in that service, somebody needs to hear something. He's moving on somebody to do something. I know a lot of people who speak in tongues, but I don't know there's not a lot of people that I know who really operate in the ministry of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's a different thing. There's a sensing, there's a knowing, there's an alerting by the Spirit of God. But when it's a private devotional tongue, let's take a look at what Paul said. He said, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." That's the way it's supposed to be. You pray in the Spirit, you don't know in your understanding what you're saying. All right? They didn't know 2,000 years ago. We don't know today. That's scriptural design. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. When it comes to the private devotional baptism of the Holy Spirit tongue, you can will to pray in the Spirit in the same way you can will to pray with the understanding. Look at that context. Do you have to wait for the Spirit's leading to be able to pray with your understanding? Or can you just will to pray? You could hear something and you can just will to pray. Yeah, you can. When you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can also will to pray in the Spirit. You can will to sing in the Spirit. Public ministry, no way. You're in submission mode. You're listening. Private devotional, you can begin to pray as an act of your will because that gift is operating and functioning on the inside of you. Very different. You can't make tongues one-dimensional because the Scripture doesn't make it one-dimensional. There is private devotional. There is public ministry. Here's another difference. In a public ministry tongue, it's for the edification of the whole body. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to one for the profit of all. All right? The purpose of tongues and interpretation of tongues is for the whole body to be blessed. That 1 Corinthians 14 church service, there was confusion. All right? But the ministry of tongues isn't confined to just a church service. All right? In a church service where you've got the ministry of tongues and interpretation of tongues, yes, that's going to be for the purpose of everybody getting blessed, edified, and understanding what's being said, all right? But the private devotional tongue, Paul says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church, all right? So here he's talking about he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. It's not the church. He goes on to say in verse 5, he says, but unless he interprets, then the whole church would be edified. But when there's a place where you're praying in tongues, in the Spirit, and it's for a self-edification. Don't confuse edification of self with selfishness, all right? This is not a work of the flesh. This message today is about 1 Corinthians 14, 4. It's about you praying in the Holy Ghost and building yourself up on your most holy faith. It's not about the corporate tongues and interpretation of tongues. We believe it, we have it, we love it, we flow in it. But this message today is not about that. It's about a personal devotional, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praise God. There's an edification. What does it say? He who speaks in an unknown tongue, he edifies. That's build yourself up. And your mind has no idea what's going on. There is no credit. All you know is you're praying in the Spirit by faith and something is strengthening on the inside. Praise God. It's wonderful. I'll tell you what, it is an amazing, now I'm just going to, this is a little exhortation that the Lord gave me, and this is an exhortation for those of you who speak in tongues, all right? I'm talking to you as the Lord talked to me. He said, there are many born-again believers who've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They have a genuine relationship with Jesus, but they do lack extra power that's available to them. He said, all right? He also said, there's many born-again believers who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but don't actively speak in tongues today. They have a relationship with Jesus, but they lack the extra power that's available to them. Having been baptized in the Holy Spirit at one time doesn't make you empowered today. Only praying in tongues today and speaking in your God-given language today will cause the power to be there. If you don't speak in tongues, even though you did before, it just amounts to a spiritual status with no power. No different than a person who's never received it. That's a good exhortation. A lot of times what happens to us tongue talkers, we get the revelation of it, we see it, we get excited about it, and then we spend the rest of our life defending that it's really real and it's really true and you should speak in tongues too and you should be a spirit-filled adult. You know, and you can do it right. But I'm just saying, are you praying in tongues? Are you just down here defending the doctrine of it? I'm talking to people who speak in tongues right now, right? I'm a little exhortive because God got exhortive with me. Because that's what would happen. You get persecuted for praying in tongues. It's a little frustrating after a while. And pretty soon after, your question is just trying to, I'm not really dumb. I'm not really, you know what, this is really true and it's really a valid spiritual experience. And you get caught up in this thing and you're not praying in the Spirit anymore. We're talking about praying in the Spirit. It doesn't say, he who believes in speaking in tongues edifies himself. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. You're going to speak. You're going to declare it. You're going to build yourself up. That's when the power comes. Apart from that, it's just status. A badge that people can see through. People who don't speak in tongues, they can see through that and it turns them off and they don't ever want that. All right? So I'm talking to us who speak in tongues. Keep it real, all right? Pray in tongues. The most important thing you can do is not convince another person that tongues is really true. The most important thing that you can do is pray in tongues. Just build yourself up in the Holy Ghost and then see what God does from there. All right? Okay. That was for you, for those guys. All right. All right. Another big difference. Public ministry tongues is not for everybody. Not everybody can do it. The Apostle Paul's emphatic. He said, you know, he goes, do all prophesy? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You'll see this public ministry question connected to interpretation. Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? He's talking about speaking in tongues in the context of interpretation of tongues. Do all have that gift? That functions as the Spirit wills. Does the Spirit will to prompt everybody to be involved in the ministry of tongues and interpretation of tongues? No, not at all. In fact, this rhetorical question is connected to a body allegory. I mean, just before that, it says, if all were an eye, where would be the hearing? If all were the hearing, where would be the smell? You know that one. All the different parts of the body. And he's talking about ministry gifts. You all have different parts when it comes to what goes forth in terms of public ministry. But private devotional, remember, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 14:5. We saw four. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. He goes, I wish that you all spoke with tongues. That's Paul saying, I wish you all, when he just got done saying, do all speak with tongues. Is Paul contradicting his own rhetorical question? He's not contradicting. He's talking about two different kinds of tongues. When it comes to public ministry tongues, not all speak with tongues. When it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, private devotional tongues, I wish you all spoke with tongues. They complement. They don't contradict each other at all. Because if tongues were tongues, and tongues were one-dimensional, and they were only public, and every tongue required an interpretation, if that's the only context of tongues, then Paul just got done saying, I wish you all were all an eye. I wish you were all an ear. He would never say that. He's not saying that. The context of tongues here has nothing to do with a body part in a public ministry. It has to do with personal edification. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Is it related to personal edification? I wish you all spoke with tongues. That's a different tongue. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's when the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, we kind of started out there, he said in Acts 2:33, he said, therefore Jesus, being exalted to the right hand of God, All right, that's the ascension. They saw him go up, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, that's the language of Jesus, wait for the promise of the Father. Peter's going to use that same verbiage, and he's going to say, repent. Having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this. That's the this they were waiting for. Peter, did you have the Holy Spirit before? Yeah, I had the Holy Spirit before. But he poured out this. He poured out this, which you now see and hear. Remember, this whole thing started out with people thinking these guys were drunk. Still happens today. People think you're drunk. He said, they're not drunk. They're not crazy. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. He says, that which you see and hear. You know, I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in me right now as a believer. You can't see and hear it, though. But if I pray in the Holy Ghost, you can see and hear it. What's he talking about in connection to the promise? He's talking about things they can see and hear. He's explaining an event. And that's what the Bible says. Tongues can be a sign to the unbeliever. On the day of Pentecost, they heard these guys speaking in their own language, and they're from all over the world. That's a sign. Do you understand? That's not the interpretation of tongues. The worst rank heathen sinner could have been right there that day and understood they were saying, but he wouldn't have been operating in the gift of the Holy Ghost of the interpretation of tongues. To operate in the gift of the Holy Spirit of the interpretation of tongues, you can't know the language because it's just a natural translation. You don't need a gift of the Holy Spirit if you already know it. That's just a natural translation. This was a sign. They spoke in tongues and it got their attention. What's going on here? Peter used that sign to preach a message. He's saying, this is that which is spoken. You see it, you hear it. Then Peter said to them, repent, every one of you. Verse 37, and said, what do we do to be saved? What do we got to do to get saved here? All right, Peter, all right, enough. We got you. You have us here. How do we get saved? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's how you get saved. At that point, if somebody does that, if they repent, they're baptized for the remission of sins, they are saved. He goes on to say, and also, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't have that red, maybe I do have a red pointer. A red pointer? Maybe not, whatever. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the same gift you see and hear. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, what promise? Jesus, help us out. The promise of the Father, all right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the one that Peter mentions in context. This promise of the Holy Spirit's been poured out, which you now see and hear. You see and hear. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit is to you. This is the audience who can get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's to you, it's to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. This gift is meant for everybody. And let me say this in the right spirit and heart. I'm not saying it like this. This gift is for everybody. Shame on you if you don't speak in tongues. No, like I said, I wasn't raised in this. I'm not talking down. I get the process. I get the journey. I understand it. It is an intimidating thing when you're praying out of your spirit and your head doesn't know what's going on. That's new territory, all right? But yet it is absolutely a gift of the Holy Spirit. And there is a building yourself up on your most holy faith that relates to what we just call edifying yourself as it relates to that. Let me just say a few things. Let's just get the practical strength stuff. I find myself a lot of times when I'm determined, when the Rocky music starts to play, I mean the spiritual da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I'm praying in the spirit a lot. Because there's a lot of stuff you just don't know. And it's great to be able to spiritually exert yourself when you don't know. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I can pray in the Holy Ghost. And I can pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up, and it just gets you in tune with the Holy Ghost, and then you begin to hear things in a known language by the Spirit of God. But you just build. This is a key, huge, to having a ripped mind. Now think of that that interesting paradox? We're talking about getting a ripped mind and doing something that causes your mind to be unfruitful. The problem is, in getting a ripped mind, it's been what's up there that's hindering you. A lot of times people will say, you got to get out of your mind. Yeah, pray in the Holy Ghost. That'll get you out of your mind. It'll get you in the Spirit. And as you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you don't know in the mind exactly what's going on, but you know that you're praying in the Spirit. You know you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. You know that you're sowing to the Spirit. It causes faith to rise, and you put yourself in that position. Maybe the enemy comes, and he's got a thought, and it seems like checkmate, and you don't know the Scripture all the time. You can begin to build yourself up. God gave us this gift to as many as our Lord will call to be able to build yourself up on your most holy faith. It is the spinach to Popeye. It's the thing that will cause strength to rise. Remember what we said before, tongue talkers. Well, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't care how long you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't care how passionately you believe it. You got to pray in tongues today to experience that power today. There's a lot of tongue talkers that lack the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not because they haven't had it, but just not using it. Stir it up. Begin to speak in tongues. Begin to stir up that gift on the inside of you. Man, there's power. There is power in the Holy Ghost. We see Peter. What are they doing here? This whole thing starts out with them being assembled together. And the same day of the evening, the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They're hiding away. They're afraid. Peter here is not afraid anymore. Repent and be baptized. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made Lord and King. What was the difference? What Jesus said would be the difference. Tarry in Jerusalem. You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There is power. This is huge. This doesn't save you. Doesn't mean God loves you anymore. You can go through all that disclaimer. I'm just telling you, we're in the gym right now. All right? I'm not going to take a lot of time with that. But I'll tell you, if you're hungry and you're thirsting, be a good Berean. You search the Scriptures. You see if it's so. I sought it for a while. I'm very kind of intellectual thinker, problem solver, da-da-da-da-da. I want to see it, da-da-da. And so it took me a while. And this is what happened to me. I got to a place where I just said, God, I don't care about this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing now. I just want sweet fellowship with you. I just want to love you. I just want to be close to you. I just want to be intimate with you. Because I've been seeking it. And my doctrine was right. And I was praying. And people were doing the things right. But I would just resist. I'd hold back. Pride. You know? I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit because, you know, intellectual problems that I'm having. In fact, my intellect is what pushed it away. But there's some things that I knew for sure. I knew Jesus was real. I knew he loved me. And it's the same Spirit. And I just began worshiping the Lord one day in my bedroom. And I knew that Spirit. I knew that worship. And in the middle of my worship, my hallelujahs turned to syllables that were unfruitful to my understanding. And the first thing I thought was, this is tongues? That's so easy. It was just a few syllables too. I mean, I wasn't like super yielded flowing. I was just like yielded enough to I got a few syllables, but I got it. You see, I got it. Okay. Oh, wow. It's faith. There was the spiritual utterance and I'm just speaking by faith. And I'll tell you what, it became a well springing up in me. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And so what I just want to do, encourage you, and we're going to stop here in our spiritual exercises because, I just kind of want to go deep and get more practical. But I'll tell you, if you're dealing with something, this is practical. This is not legalism. But what we would do before we would hit the streets of Hennepin in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I went with the team a few times in one of the word churches there. They would literally get you in a room, a bunch of Spirit-filled believers, and they would exhort you, you'd pray, and then you would just speak in tongues at the top of your lungs. And it was hundreds of people. And I'm telling you what, and it's not like, oh, you need an interpretation? No. There's a building yourself up. And we're on that bus, and it's people praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And I'm telling you what, I just wasn't used to praying in tongues for like 30 minutes. But when you're around a bunch of other people that are doing it, it's like you just hook up and just keep going and 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 going. I got off that bus. It was like, wow. Whew. Don't be drunk with wine, wearing, and success. These guys aren't drunk as you suppose. There's some inhibitions that get lost in a good way. Your little pride, some of the same stuff that inhibits you from receiving the Holy Spirit in the first place, well, some of that stuff will fall off too, and you break your comfort zone, and you begin to pour out of your heart, not because you're trying to be bold, I got to reach the lost, and I got to hit the street, so it's not my personality, I got to be, no, there can be a lot of forced, fake, phony boldness and stuff like that. Gross. Another thing people see through and go, ah. But when there is a real power of the Holy Spirit, it's just flowing out of you. It's natural. I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in high school that day, I was a senior in high school, that next day, I remember just going down the street. I was in the locker room, a wrestler, like I said. I was just singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. It was just coming out of me. I mean, I would have had all these layers to inhibit that from that ever happening. In the locker room, yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible. And I'm just singing right from my heart. And a guy comes up to me and says, are you singing Jesus loves me? He said, yeah. And then, what if he says this? What if he thinks this? What if he says, yeah? All my apologies. There's something about getting filled with the Holy Ghost. It just starts coming out of your heart, and it's really, it's genuine, sincere, and you're not trying to prove to anybody. It's just, it's from the Holy Ghost. That's why you got the power of the Holy Ghost. You want a ripped mind that's supposed to think on the right things? You begin sowing to the Spirit. You begin praying in the Spirit. It's amazing how the spirit of a sound mind is just stirred up when you begin to pray in the Spirit. And you have clarity of thought. Not because you figured something out, just prayed in the Spirit. Praise God. Power. Power to be witnesses. So we're going to just stop right there, and we'll continue on next week with a little bit more. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much today just for the power that we have, things that you've given to us, Lord, that can make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're just as righteous whether we're strong in the Lord or not strong in the Lord. This isn't about being tried to be made right with you. I'm not praying in the Spirit to try to get you to like me or love me. That's done. You love me in Jesus. I'm doing stuff to get strong. I'm putting on armor. I'm doing some things so when that evil day comes, I can stand in that armor, stand in that power, stand in the things that you've given to me. I thank you for it, Father God. I thank you for each one here and for just the rising up, Lord, that's going on in the inside of every heart that's here. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. It's been given to me. I receive it. I will pray in the Spirit and be built up on my most holy faith. I'll be edified, and my understanding will not take credit. I'll just look to you and say, it's not by might, it's not by power. It's by your Spirit that I can do all things through Christ. Heavenly Father, if this tongues thing is for real, then show me by the same Holy Spirit that Jesus is for real, that forgiveness is for real. I open my heart. I want all you have for me. Lead and guide me into that truth. And I will rejoice no matter what's going on. I'll get my playlist. I'll take my time and declare your glory and declare your praise and let praise flow. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let me just kind of follow up that with this too. If you are wondering about tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all that, that's what I'm here for, all right? The reason why I got guided well on tongues is because I found a pastor that I could sit across from and tell him my story about my upbringing and some of the weird flaky junk that I saw, but some of the stuff I could see in the Word, and that pastor was able to help me to navigate and rightly divide the word of truth as it relates to tongues and speaking in tongues. That's what I'm here for. I would love that, because that's kind of my story. So if you're struggling with that, man, I get it. And we would just love for you to know that. So anyway, call, email, text, talk to me after service, whatever. We want you to understand, know, and flow. And again, it's not that's what makes God love you. He loved those disciples before they got baptized in the Holy Spirit on that day of ascension as much as he did after they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was all about one thing, power. That was not love, but just power to witness. And that's what it is. It doesn't make God love you more, but there's more power there to help you walk out this Christian life. So again, that's what I'm here for. Contact me anytime. Love to further talk with you about that. So praise God.